Dearly beloved friends, I hope you would have enjoyed worshiping the Lord along with me. And it's time to receive God's word. But then I would again want to welcome everybody who's watching us live. And if there are any newcomers here, I welcome you all again. Sorry for the change in the worship time last week. We had it in the evening at 6:30. But again, we're back to the original time, which is at 10:30 every Sunday. So thank you one more time for joining us, dear children of God. Let's pray and get prepared to receive God's word. Father, we come into your holy presence. And Daddy, we wait upon you for you to speak to us. And Lord, because every week when we come into your presence and we wait, you talk to us and your word has power, and the power in your word changes our lives. Father, even today, let your word be prophetic in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, the sermon title which the Lord gave me to speak to is that your problem has a purpose. Now, if you have anybody sitting next to you, turn to them and say, your problem has a purpose. Now, you might be asking, Pastor, there is pain in our problems, but is there a purpose in our problems? Yet, dear friends, today there is nobody in this world without a problem. We all have problems, and especially right now, Corona is a very big problem to all of us. But then, we all need to understand something. Problems are inevitable in our lives. You can never avoid problems in life. It just comes into life. No matter what you do, no matter where you are, you cannot avoid problems. Second, problems are unpredictable. You can never predict when a problem can come in your life. You can never predict when you're going to fall sick. You can never predict when the stock markets are going to fall down. You will never predict when this virus, Corona, nobody predicted this virus. So problems are unpredictable. But the only thing is, you can probably anticipate. Third, problems are of different kinds. It's not the same problem. You and me both don't have the same problem, or even an individual does not have the same problem for a long time. We have different kinds of problems. But the fourth important point is, all our problems have a purpose. Now, I want to encourage your friends that all the problems in our life has a purpose. It's going to teach us something. It's going to change something in our lives. So, if you have a problem, don't be complaining about the problem. Look at what the purpose the Lord has in your life. I heard this when a guy spoke to me. He said, I have 99 problems in my life. And he asked me, Pastor, do you know what my biggest problem is? Like, what is that? I have this problem of counting all my problems. And he said, that's my biggest problem. I said, oh my God, that's the biggest problem. Because the actual blessing in our life is to count our blessings. But there are some people who keep counting their problems, who keep measuring their problems, who have different COVID graphs for their problems to see where the life has been going. Dear friends, I want to tell you, don't look at these problems and keep grumbling, dear children of God. But how can we use them? I heard the story about a drunkard who had two sons. One son, the elder son, became a drunkard like him and he was in the streets. But the youngest son was sober. He never got into alcohol. He never drank. He worked hard. He studied hard. And then he became a big shot. So one day, this guy on the road, the drunkard, the son of the drunkard who became a drunkard, when somebody asked him, why are you drinking like this? For which he said, my father was a drunkard. And when they asked the other guy who's doing well in life, who became a big shot, who's a businessman, but sober, they asked him, why are you like this in life? How did you become this? He said, because my father was a drunkard. He said, because my father was a drunkard, I didn't want to be like him. I struggled hard. I gave all that I had. And I reached this position. Dear children of God, today, what are we saying? Are we saying that because of my sickness, I'm like this? Or because I have a husband who's like this? Or my wife? Or my children? Or because I have a bad education? Or I came from a bad background? Or because I live in this area? Because of this, I am like this? Are we saying the same thing? Dear friends, my father was never a Christian. He never believed in Jesus. He died the same way. In my family, nobody had ever done ministry. I am the first guy who's ever stepped into doing God's work. But when I stepped in, my only concern was nobody has done it. So from whom can I learn? But then I said, because nobody has done it, I'm going to do it for the Lord. Now, how are we using our problems in life? We're going to look at three things today. What does Satan want to do in our lives through our problems? What do we want to do amidst our problems? Third, most importantly, what does God want to do in our lives through our problems? We all know the story of Job. If you read the book of Job, chapter 1, it talks about how good Job's life is. Blessed man, abundance. He's a man of good faith, living the life, big style. Got 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 donkey, 500 ox, many servants. Oh, he was having a blast, but always faithful to God. And his sons used to have a party every day. They used to throw a party every day, go late nights, have a great time. And you know what this man used to do? He used to get up in the morning and offer sacrifices to the Lord, saying that, oh, I don't know whether my sons, whether they have sinned or my daughters have sinned. Lord, please forgive them. All right, I know what's running in your mind. We all probably, you know, wish that we had such fathers who will allow us to party all the night and then get up in the morning and pray for us and sacrifice for us and all. I know what's running in your mind. But then this was how Job's life was. Now, the devil gets into the scene. First point, the devil wants to use our problems to destroy us. Now what happens if you can read verse 8? Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him, his household, everything else? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch your hand and strike everything he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Dear children of God, in fact, the devil goes around the world and it's the Lord who shows Job to him. All right, it's the Lord who shows Job to him and he says, you know what, look at my son. I have full faith on him. He is an excellent man. He will not waver on his faith. He will stand with me. He will not grumble. He will not come. Now go and test him. Devil did not. Now you need to listen to this very carefully. Devil did not choose Job, but the Lord showed Job to devil, saying that, come on. And you know what devil does? 13th verse, from the 13th verse, if you read till the 18th, 19th verse, he goes in, he destroyed everything that he has. All the oxen, all the farm, everything lies, all his farmlands are burned. All his cattle are being killed and taken away. And suddenly servants come and tell Job that this is what's happening. And finally a wind blows and the house falls on all his children and they all die. And Job just tears his clothes and he stands there. And the word of God says, yet he didn't sin. He said, Lord, you gave, you take, who took away. Now, the devil does his best to destroy Job. So, dear children of God, today, you need to understand the role of the problem in your life and the role of devil bringing this problem into your life is to destroy your life. Now, why is this happening? So, when the devil is trying to do this, you need to really be alert and say, oh, no, I am not allowing the devil to destroy my life. I will not allow him to break my family. I will not allow him to break my health. So, the devil uses problems to destroy your lives. Second, what does man do when he encounters problems? What do we do? You know what we do? We want to either avoid it or quit and run away. Dear friends, I want to tell you, you cannot keep running away from your problems. Today, whenever somebody comes with a problem, they don't come with a solution. The only solution they know is, let me move on. This marriage is not working, so I will quit this marriage. Let me end this marriage. My job is not doing good. I'm having problems in my job, so I will shift to another job. Oh, my life is not good, so I will finish my life. I will end my life. Oh, this place is not working for me, so I'll move to another place. This church is not too good for me. I will move to another. People want to avoid problems, quit and run away. But you know what I want to tell you? When you run away from your problems run faster than you and they catch up with you. No matter where you go, your problems are faster. There are two kinds of mindset in life. One is fixed mindset and the other one is growth mindset. The fixed mindset is always fixed on our problems and it's always focused on the negative areas. That's how our brain is tuned. We always focus on negativity. But the growth mindset considers every problem to be a project. It looks at it and says, okay, I'm having this project right now. How do I overcome this project? How do I finish this project? Dear children of God, if you work for companies, you know, especially IT companies, you know, we have a lot of projects going on. And you know what? The more longer the projects go on in our life, the more money we have and we have a secure job. When the projects are over, that's all, we lose the job. So we keep trying for more projects. Look at problems as projects. Or this new problem is a new project. How do I handle it? You cannot run away from your problems and your projects. You need to understand that. You need to change your mindset. Dear children, I've got the more faster you run, your problems will run faster. Now, If you read the second chapter, verse 7, Satan went from the presence of the Lord, afflicted Job with painful sores from soles on his feet to the crown of his head. Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And what happens? His wife comes. And his wife says, you know what she says? Curse the Lord and die. Give up. And if you read Job chapter 3, he says, no, I really cursed the day I was born. Whatever I feared happened in my life, I'm just lamenting. Job also starts to lament. And his wife's advice is, quit, curse the Lord and die. Dear children of God, today many people, when we encounter problems and you talk about your problems to others, they will come and say, oh, divorce is the best solution. Oh, parting is the best solution. Why didn't you look out for another job? Why didn't you do this? People talk about quit and running away. No. The more you quit and you run away, the problem is going to catch up with you faster. I read the story about the hungry pythons. There was a group of men who were serving in the Brazilian forest. Peace Corps men. They were serving in the Brazilian forest. You can even read it in Google. So when we're serving in the Brazilian forest, there were a lot of the forest was known for pythons. And anywhere there will be a python. So they were told, when you see a python, don't run away. Because in the forest, the python is faster than you. It will catch you, swallow you, strangle you. It will swirl around you, choke you and kill you. So what was the advice? The servicemen were told when they see a python to lie down straight, flat on the ground with their feet closed, stiff and with their hands on the side and like this. You know what the python will try to dig its head inside the body somewhere under the body, but it will not find a place. And the python at the end will come and try to swallow the body from the feet. Okay, because the feet is closed like this. And even when it swallows the body, you will not experience pain. So they say, keep quiet. Don't try to run away when it's trying to struggle, swallow you. Just be inside its mouth. And when the python starts to swallow you, and when it comes to the knee, then they say, take a knife, put it into the python's mouth, cut it off. And the python gets killed. You learn to kill the python when you're inside the python. When the python is swallowing you up to your knee. But if you try to run away, it runs faster. And then kills you. Dear children of God, today we need to learn to be inside the problem. Live within the problem, not outside the problem. Live with the problem and overcome it. How many of you guys are saying amen? Just say an amen. Don't try to run away. Live with the problem and overcome it. Live with the sickness. Overcome it. Face your problems. The problem has a purpose. Now third, the devil uses all our problems to destroy us. Man wants to avoid problems. The Lord uses these problems to fulfill his purpose in our life. Yes, dear children of God. If you can read James chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. James writes like this. James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to all the 12 tribes, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. James says, consider it pure joy. Now, if I'm going to tell you your problem is your joy, you will start cursing me. Pastor, do you think whatever happened to me is good? But then the word says, produces patience, perseverance, and perseverance makes sure that you lack nothing. There are five ways God uses problems in our life to fulfill his purpose. First one, God uses problems to direct us. Sometimes we are stuck in a place, we don't know where to go, or probably we are in the wrong place. God allows these problems to move us from one place to another. Because many a times, dear friends, we settle in life, we become comfort, we sit in our comfort zone. But then God's plan and purpose cannot be fulfilled in comfort zones. You have to come out. You have to step out of the boat. Sometimes God allows these problems that the devil brings to move us and in fact direct us to the right door. Probably we're standing in the wrong door. And that's why this problem. Probably this problem is moving us to the right door. Sometimes you have to put fire under somebody to move them to another place. There are people who don't sit warm until they get burnt and then move. God uses problems to direct us. Second, God uses problems to strengthen us. Christians are like tea bags, you know, until and unless you put them in hot water, you know, the tea does not come. You cannot feel the taste. The more it's dipped in the water, the more stronger the tea. Sometimes we Christians, our faith is just like the more we are tested. You know, Job writes in Job 23:10, I was tested and I came forth as pure gold, strengthened in faith. Dear friends, I want to encourage you. We're going to come forth as pure gold. This test is going to make us strong. Third, God uses problems to correct us. Sometimes we are away from the Lord, or we don't have faith, or we've committed a sin, gone away. God sometimes allows these things to bring us back to Him. If you read Psalms 119 verse 71, David writes like this: "It was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws." That is, whatever struggle I went through, it taught me to pay attention to your laws. Lord many times uses these problems in our lives to correct us. So don't ask me this question saying, "Pastor, did God bring this problem in my life? Is God so bad that He brought this sickness?" No, God is not bad. If you read Job's story, the devil goes to Job to test, and God says, "You want to test him? Okay, you test him. But I know about my child." God just allowed this test so that you will be elevated. It's not God who brings problem into people's life. It's not God who creates the problems. No, He doesn't do that. Fourth, God uses problems to protect us. As in, I need to clarify something. He is not the one who's initiating problems in our life. The devil does it. All right? But then the Lord uses it to bless us. So fourth point, God uses problems to protect us. We all know the story of David. David was put in the hole to protect his life. He was sold as a slave to protect his life. He was there in the jail to protect his life. And then God brought him there. Then the Lord says, whatever people intended for bad, the Lord turned into good. All this while Joseph was a slave, the Lord protected him so that his entire tribe, his entire family could be protected. Fifth, God uses problems which come in our lives to perfect us. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 4. We can rejoice when we run into problems, so they help us to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us, helps us trust God more each time. And finally, our hope and faith are strong and steady. These are not God. It perfects us. Patience, perseverance, hope, faith. God allows this to perfect. Something is imperfect. Something is lacking in our lives. So God allows all of these problems to perfect us. So God uses problems to direct us, strengthen us, correct us, protect us, and to perfect us. Dear children of God, devil uses all problems to destroy us. Man wants to avoid problems, but God uses the same problem to fulfill His purpose in life. You know what, dear children of God? Job chapter 42. The Lord is about to bless Job. Job does not know it. The Lord blessed him doublefold. We all know that. But before Job knows it, or before he receives the blessings, he writes like this, Job chapter 42 verse 1 and 2. Then Job replied, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." I know that you can do all things, Lord. No purpose of you could be thwarted. Be it famine, be it death, nothing can thwart God's plan on life. I want to encourage you, dear children of God, even as you're watching this, the Lord has a purpose. Your problem has a purpose. Whatever you're going through in your life, it has a purpose. The devil brings this problem to destroy. We avoid. But God uses every problem which devil brings in our life to bless, to fulfill, to perfect, to protect. And none of his plans could be thwarted. I read this story about a guy called Brian. One day morning, he got up, started to go to work, went to the car. His car tire was flat. So he went back into his house, took the phone. By the time it was raining heavily, the phone connection wires were all in water. By the time he took the phone, called up and asked his friend for help, he had an electric shock. He fell down. With all the pain, he came down, all right, to see his car, and the car was stolen. But then the good thing is the car did not have much fuel, so the guy who stole the car left it long back. So he walked, then had to take the car, put it in the garage. With all this, he went and landed in his office. When he climbed the stairs, he fell down, broke his leg. When he took them to the hospital, the hospital door hit his fingers. Fingers were injured. Finally, after all the first aid and all the bandaging and all the medical care, he came home and he sat on a chair and the chair broke. And you know, his friend said, "Oh, I think you're having a very bad day. I think God is very angry with you. God is trying to mess you." He said, No, God is not trying to mess with me. The devil from morning is trying to kill me, but he's constantly missing me because God is making sure that I'm missing what the devil is throwing against me." That's the attitude. Dear children of God, today we are all concerned about the problems we are currently facing. Have you ever thought about the problems which the Lord have already been taken care of? the ones which we did not encounter, the ones which we did not see in our lives, the accidents and the sicknesses which never came into our lives, but were there in somebody else's life. I want to tell you, your attitude matters. Don't quit. Don't run away. Learn to overcome the problem, living with the problem, because your problem has a purpose. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. We truly believe that there is a purpose in all the problems we face. Though it's painful, though it's a big struggle, though we are going through tough times, Lord, we truly believe that you have a purpose. And Lord, right now I pray for everybody who are going through the problems. We're not asking you to take away the problem, but Lord, we're asking for more strength and more faith so that we will learn and we will come out of these problems. So Father Jesus, I want to bless everybody who's watching me right now. Whatever their problems, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the strength to overcome it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Thank you for joining me today.